Welcome to the XBLA Fancast, episode 5 for Tuesday, March 22nd, 2011. I'm John, and I'm joined here today by Ross, Andrew, and John Carson. Guys, want to introduce yourselves real quick?
Yeah, I'm Andrew Cruz, a writer for XBLA Fans.
I'm John Carson, I'm associate editor on XBLA Fans.
And I'm Ross Adams, a writer and producer of this year's podcast.
Yeah, Ross does all the work that you don't see every week, so it's great to have him join us. So we got a lot of news for you guys today. A lot of upcoming XBLA releases finally got announced. I mean, I think we have, what, like 7 titles now for the rest of March and then a little bit of April?
Yeah, it was quite a few. I think we got 2 coming up this week, I know for sure. And
yeah, we got Swarm and Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime, which both of them I'm really interested in. And then that next week, we got Islands of Wakfu. I can't say the next one. I'll let one of you guys try. And then Russian Attack Expatriate. And I know right after that, there's going to be Dishwasher Vampire Smile.
Yeah, I'll take a shot at it. Saiso Kuki Strania. I don't know.
We're going to go with
Saiso Kuki Strania.
Who knows? That's weird. It's going to be like Elo Milo or Ilo Milo. People are going to say it however they want.
I'm just going to say it Sunday comes out.
No. All right, I like that better.
All right. So, what do you guys think about these? Any of them you're looking forward to in particular?
I'm looking forward to Ghostbusters, definitely, being the dual stick guy I am.
I was about to say,
Twin Stick. Yeah, it looks pretty awesome, and I'm a fan of Ghostbusters. I mean, if you grew up during, you know, our generation or whatever, we're all, you know, 30 and under here, so if you grew up during, like, the 80s and 90s, then you're probably a Ghostbusters fan.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely looking forward to trying Swarm. I'm going to hold off like any thoughts or opinions about it until after a try, because I didn't get a chance to try it at PAX, and I'm hearing really mixed reviews on it both ways. So I'm definitely going to demo it. I love Hothead games. The Penny Arcade games are a couple of my favorite. So, you know, I'll give that one a shot. But the other ones, I'll wait until they come out to look more into those.
Understandable. Yeah, I'm really interested in Swarm just because it kind of looks like it might have some of those, you know, kind of Lemmings type mechanics, and I loved that game way back when. Like, that was one of my favorites back when I was a kid. And then, you know, Ghostbusters looks great. It's nice to see them follow that up, you know, the retail release that came out about 2 years ago, which I enjoyed that just because, I mean, it just kind of continued the franchise because it doesn't look like we're going to see a Ghostbusters 3 anytime soon.
No,
I mean, I'm not as familiar with the rest as either, but Russian Attack Expatriate looks like it could be good. It's, you know, nice side-scrolling game. And then I think Islands of Wakfu is
an MMO. I think it's just a beat-em-up adventure, so I'm seeing. I just watched the trailer on it. Looks extremely pretty.
Oh, okay. It's a spin-off from the MMO.
I'm actually really pumped for that now.
It's hard to tell what it is. It looks kind of, some of it looked like weirdly turn-based or something, and some of it looks like just like a
The problem is I haven't really gotten anything from, you know, the developers on this, so we're kind of out of the loop too. It's one thing that kind of stinks sometimes with the foreign developers.
Yeah,
we have 2 things on our site. One says that it's completed, and then one says that it's arriving at month's end. So, but they do have a trailer on their site. It looks pretty cool. People should go check that out.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that Sisu Koki or whatever, I just looked at that. That's that one I was thinking of that looks awesome. I'm a big fan of shmups too, so I'm in on that one. I don't, you know, it takes a really bad demo for those games to make me not want to buy them. So I just forgot which one that was. Because, I mean, after a while, they all sound the same. They're words you can barely pronounce.
They all play the same, yeah. That's why normally when it comes to, like, the shmups, I just stick with the Xbox Live indie games, because honestly, they're just as good, they're just not as pretty. And I mean, like, it costs, you know, $1 versus $8 or $10. No? So, what did you guys think about Torchlight? Just came out and came out with its highest day sales ever, and it was on XBLA, which is great to see, because I know at GDC this year, there's a lot of people, you know, kind of beating on the XBLA bandwagon, in a sense, saying it's not selling as well as Steam, it's not selling as well as PSN. The guys who did Shank said that they saw a longer tail from PSN, and then Meat Boy just completely said, you know, XBLA just sucks.
Well, that's because on Steam, there was multiple occasions, and I even picked it up for $3.50, I think. So you're going to get a lot of people making impulse decisions when they log into Steam, and it's just giant across the front of the store page, Super Meat Boy, $3.50 only today. And, you know, I was like, okay, I like that game. I'll put it on my PC for another $3.50.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised that they said they had the highest day sales on XBLA, because the, like, Torchlight has been really cheap a lot on Steam.
Yeah.
So I would expect that it would have sold a lot in a day. And especially all before it came out, all I kept seeing was people complaining that 1,200 points was too much, considering it being so cheap on Steam.
Yeah, I think the one thing that kind of helped it on XBLA versus Steam is, you know, it already has that name recognition now, because when it was coming out on Steam, you know, people were like, what's Torchlight? They didn't really recognize Runic Games, you know. The developers, who had a huge lineage. I mean, these guys have done some crazy stuff. I mean, these are the guys who did the original Diablo. And then, you know, they ended up getting bought out by Blizzard. And then, you know, they created their own studio again. Then that one went under. And now they've made Runic. And now they're coming out with Torchlight. And they're coming out with Torchlight 2 soon, which I'm very interested to see how that does. I hope they add in co-op. I think they've said they are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's all I need. Like, honestly, I don't need, like, an MMO here. I just want a couple friends, because, I mean, it just makes looting a lot more interesting.
Yeah, and as far as, like, it achieving the highest day sales on XBLA, I feel like that may be, in a way, like, an inflated figure, because as the Xbox service grows, more and more people are on Xbox Live. I feel like there was a lot of hype around this game, but not as much as, say, like when Shadow Complex came out. But Shadow Complex came out when there was half as many users, so it had that working against it already.
Well, I don't think they said that it was the highest day sales anyone's ever seen on XBLA. I think it's just the highest that Runic's ever seen for Torchlight itself.
I was thinking it was, so that makes more sense.
Yeah, I don't think it's the most selling game ever, though.
But I mean, between this and, like, Bianca and Evil, those were kind of, like, the games that headlined this event. So, I mean, they pushed them pretty hard.
The whole House Party thing, I felt like was really a letdown until Beyond Good and Evil finally hit. Because, I mean, the Jeweled I have on Facebook for free, I mean, I beat this over and over and over. And I'm just like, I don't get why you'd really want to buy it for another platform, especially when it's already free.
Yeah, but people will. I mean, I own Plants vs. Zombies on like 4 things right now, so if people like it, they'll buy it on another platform, and I'm sure it sold somewhat well.
Yeah, especially when you can get achievement points for it. Outland's coming to XBLA late April to early May. Have you guys looked at this at all? Honestly, this thing looks beautiful. Like, the art direction is just fabulous. I mean, it's like, it's insane.
I was, I wrote the little article up about that. I was definitely interested in that after I seen some screenshots. I love those games that look completely unique. Like, the art style is unique. Like, you can look at Braid from like a quarter mile away on like a 27-inch TV and be like, oh yeah, that guy's playing Braid, you know? And this game looks like one of those games that you could just like catch out of the corner of the eye and you just know what it is because it's so unique. And it looks pretty awesome too. It's got that like light world, dark world kind of Ikaruga combat to it.
Yeah.
And that looked pretty good. I watched a demo of that on GameSpot the other day, and it looked like it played exactly the way I would hope it would play. So it's kind of got puzzle elements where you have to be like the blue guy and jump on a blue pad and then jump in midair, switch to red so you can land on like the red landing pad and stuff like that. And it's got like bullet absorbing, so you know, you don't have to try to figure out a way through the pattern sometimes. You can just switch to the right color and take them all to the chest if you want. So it looked pretty awesome. Yeah.
It looked great, and I was reading an article on a website earlier this week, and it was talking just about that, you know, about the whole you switch from the red to the blue, and, you know, when you're blue, you can absorb the blue, you know, bullets, basically, and when you're red, you can absorb the red bullets, and then, like, sometimes you'll only be able to see platforms if you're a certain color, and it was talking about, like, speed runs, and anytime you say speed runs, that always gets me interested, because I'm just like, oh, it adds another element. I mean, just, I love the whole leaderboard concept. Like, I mean, that's what makes games like Trials HD so great, is leaderboards.
Yeah. And a lot of people like that speedrunning. I know a few people that'll buy a game the second they hear speedrun. A lot of people like competing for that.
And then, speaking of just, you know, completely unique looking games, have you guys seen anything for From Dust? We have some new screenshots up, and those look amazing. Personally, I don't even think it looks like a game. It looks like artwork.
It looks like a PC game, actually. Something that you need a little bit higher machinery for.
Like, I'm just looking at a couple of screens right now again. I'm like, a couple of these honestly look like they should be paintings.
Yeah, they just look like concept art a lot of the time, but you can tell in certain places that they're not. It's just, it looks really awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not too familiar about the actual gameplay behind it, but like once we get more info on this, I'm going to be like even more excited. Because I mean, I love seeing, you know, the concept type footage and then the artwork, but I'd like to see, you know, a little bit more.
Yeah, it's maybe like a god game where you like control elements and have to mold the world or something. I'm not sure what the goal is of it, but
that sounds different.
The basic premise, and it's from the guy who did Out of This World / Another World.
Yeah, it's from Eric Chachi, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Can't say the name. We'll go with it. No, there's not a C at the end. It's more like Chahi.
No, it's Chahi.
Yeah, I didn't see the C. I'm just like,
oh, God.
Said
C. Where
okay,
you
I just butchered the name. Sorry. And then we saw some footage for Orion Prelude earlier this week. It looks kind of crazy. I know Steve actually described it on the site as Call of Duty plus Halo plus Jurassic Park.
Wow.
Which, I mean, that just sounds insane. I think the craziest part about this game is it's, you know, it started as a Half-Life 2 mod, but then, like, Kickstarter, they managed to raise over $18,000. Yeah. So they decided, you know, we can make a full-on game at that point. So, I mean, that's crazy, just the whole concept of it being funded through Kickstarter.
Yeah. Well, Kickstarter is a really great place to go for odd things like this. A lot of small startups can come from people that believe in your idea. But I thought I seen this on the PC. Is this also on the PC? Does anybody know?
I assume it started there just because it's a Half-Life 2 modification.
Yeah, I think the concept has been around for a while. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw a video of this a long time ago. But I guess it's coming to XBLA at some point now.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I think the basic concept's been around for a while, and it might have been on the PC for a little bit of some sort, but, you know, they've just now decided, let's make it a full-on game and stick it on Xbox Live Arcade. It's
definitely interesting and over the top.
Yeah, I mean, anything with dinosaurs and stuff is just
dinosaurs
crazy.
Holding the Desert Eagle.
Dinosaurs, jetpacks, mechs.
Absolutely nuts. And then we've had a bunch of new releases that we didn't talk about because last week we had our PAX East special. So what did you guys think about Torchlight? Because I know we just kind of glanced over that.
Somebody played it? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I sadly haven't been able to play it yet.
I demoed it and didn't purchase it. So
played the original.
Or actually buy it.
I actually haven't bought it either just because Dragon Age 2 has sucked me in so much that I'm just like, don't have time for another game that's going to be looting. I'm like saving Torchlight.
Yeah. I tried the demo and I never bought it though because I just don't have the money to be buying it again and I've not even finished it on PC. The frame rate for me was terrible the entire time. And I know people have said the frame rate drops a lot during like big combat sequences, but for me it was just terrible the entire time. It was kind of off-putting.
I didn't.
Yeah, I think that was one of the negative things we had in our review of the game was that the frame rate dropped a little too often.
Yeah? Huh. I didn't notice anything, but wow. That's odd that like everybody had issues and I didn't.
Well, were you just playing
did the demo and I didn't do it until it said like purchase the game for more. At one point I just quit cuz I'm just not into those kind of games. It seemed like a good game for people that were into that, but it's not my thing. I killed 3 or 4 guys and you know, picked up some gold or whatever, and I was like, all right, I've done this 1,000 times. I don't need to do it again.
Honestly, I really want to pick it up. It's just one of those things where I just don't have the time for it right now between work and everything else I got to do. It looks great to me. I mean, just reading over our review again, Harry and Todd both loved it. They both said it's a game you need to buy. I mean, they love the design. They love just all the loot. They love the easy controls. They love the dungeon crawling, just, you know, the environments and everything. Other than the fact that he said it felt really easy and it felt like it had too much slowdown with not much of a plot. I mean, he loved it. So, I mean, it's definitely something you need to check out. Like, I think you need to play the demo for sure, just to figure out if this is your type of game.
I think, like, if you've played Diablo, if you like that, and you like sitting on your couch, that should be a good enough reason to buy it. I mean, the PC version's fantastic. I played countless hours of that. But I'll be getting around to this, hopefully, this week. And, I mean, you don't really need a story for it if you kind of dig the whole dungeon crawling loot whoring thing.
All right, and then after Torchlight this week, we had Full House Poker. Have you guys checked that out at all?
I did check it out. I'm a poker fan. I play a lot with my friends, or at least I used to. But I didn't buy it for a couple reasons. One is that whole time sensitive DLC achievement stuff. I'm not into like finishing a game and then having to go back and like play on a specific weekend or specific month to refinish the game down the line. And I know it's free right now, but that's not to say that they won't be charging for like the summer and fall seasons if they get that far. And I don't know, I already had a poker game, so I wasn't all that into it to begin with.
True. Well, I wrote the review on this one, so I have played it, and I've played a lot of it just because I had to. And I actually really enjoyed it. For the most part, it is the best poker game I think they have on Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple other ones. There was another one that used to be free at one point, I believe. I have that too.
Yeah, it was Texas
Hold'em. But the nice, Texas Hold'em or whatever. Yeah. The nice thing about it is, I mean, the avatars do give it some nice personality. And I mean, the whole time, it's constantly got this kind of like level progression.
Mm-hmm.
That you come to, like, you know, just expect with multiplayer games.
Yeah.
Like with Call of Duty, where, you know, you're just waiting until you hit that next level just to see what the new thing you get is. And, I mean, with poker, I mean, it's not going to be, you know, a new M16 with an awesome laser sight. It's going to be, you know, a new deck of cards or a new set of chairs, which is a whole lot less exciting. But, I mean, some of the stuff you get is actually pretty cool. And, I mean, it's just nice to, you know, constantly be rewarded for everything you do.
Yeah.
Like, you get experience points just for being dealt in the hand.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even have to do anything stupid, like, toward the game where, you know, you're just trying to, you know, constantly win hands because it's the only way you move up. I mean, it rewards you for smart folds, which is great.
I think that's a great way to kind of offset that, the thing where you're not using real money, but I guess you're getting experience points for actually playing the game how it's supposed to be played instead of just going for it every time with no risk.
Yeah, I thought that was a genius move too. There was a situation where it was like I was like fourth from the small blind or something like that. I was almost right behind the button, and it came around to me, and like three people had already raised, and I had like something decent, like a Jack 9 suited or something like that, and I folded, and I got like a special bonus or something like that for playing smart or something like that. And I was like, wow, that's awesome, because one of the biggest problems with that other poker game, Texas Hold'em, is the second you start an online tournament, three or four people go all in on the first hand. Whoever wins that hand pretty much just bullies the table until everybody else quits. And that's
exactly. Well, that's the thing I like about the way they've decided to do the Texas Heat tournament type things. And it's not based on how many chips you have. So, I mean, the game does, you know, kind of regulate and deregulate you based on how well you're doing at the time. Like, the guy with the most chips gets moved up a table. The guy with the least chips gets moved down a table. But that's just so you have the same amount of chips as everyone around you. It's not to say, you know, you're really doing that much better, really. Because the way it does it is it's based off how many experience points you earn.
Yeah.
Which you earn the experience points half the time for being dealt in the hand, for folding. You know, every once in a while you might get it for winning the hand. I mean, if you have a streak of winning the hands, great. That's where you get the most. Yeah. But, I mean, that's the hardest thing to do, especially at a 10-person table or something.
Yeah. And that fast-forward thing is genius, too. I think you wrote about that in a review. There's nothing more annoying than playing a poker game when you fold your 7-2, you know, right off the bat, and then four people continue to play that hand out, like, pretty hardcore, and you got to waste, like, 2 minutes watching that play out when you have nothing to do with it.
especially with the computer, the way it bets, because every once in a while I kept getting stuck in a hand where, you know, the blinds are like 20-40, and the computer would bet 40, and then it would just, you know, the other computer would raise another 40, and then it would re-raise 40, and they just kept going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And we're playing with 200,000 in chips or something, like, you know, outrageous. Yeah. And it's just like, what are you kidding me? This is going to take, you know, like 30 minutes if I watched it normal. Thankfully, Fast Forward does it in like 2 minutes, but I'm like, that's still incredibly frustrating to see that type of betting happen. I mean, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but it was pretty close. So, I mean, that was the only real problem I had with the game in particular, which is the computer didn't seem to know what it was doing with betting, which, I mean, that's really hard to, you know, do. Because the computer seems to call almost anything. And, I mean, that's nice to a degree, because, I mean, you just play really tight and you win. But it would have been nice to see it a little bit brighter. But with the pro takedowns, that's where it's really, really at its best, because you have, you know, a really aggressive type, and then you have another guy who, you know, will just, you know, play very passive aggressive, and then you have another guy who will just play extremely tight, and like you can kind of figure it out pretty quick how they play. And I mean, eventually you have to play all of those types at the same table, and that's
can you cool. create like your own tournaments and stuff in that?
Yeah, I think you can. You can play online and just do, you know, like a
do you know how many people you can
player
have
type game and just, you know, all go in with whatever amount of money. I'd have to look it back up. I don't remember. And then after that, we had another surprise Friday release, which honestly I think is going to start to happen a little bit more. And Battle LA came out, so I know Ross is going to be reviewing that for us, so I'll let him talk a little bit first.
It's an odd game. It's just a sometimes it seems awesome, sometimes, well, most of the time it seems really bad, though. I've played through it 3 times, each time, like, on a different difficulty, easy, normal, and hard.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's not taken me any more than an hour for each playthrough.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of shocking, because once you've played through it 3 times, there is pretty much no reason to play through it again, because there are unlockable things, like videos and concept art and all that rubbish.
There's mods. There's a few mods.
And the annoying thing is, they don't... Yeah, mods, and they're, like, pointless, and there's one that's called Hollywood mode, which is big head mode.
Oh my god. That's what that is?
And,
holy crap.
Yeah, and it's they're, like, tiered. There's, like, a certain group of unlockables are for each difficulty, but I played on hard the first time, and expecting everything to unlock once I had completed it, but that wasn't the case at all. Only the hard unlockables unlocked, which was annoying.
Yeah.
Even the achievements don't stack either. You have to play through each time to get them. And the game itself is just so generic, and there's like nothing about it that's remotely original. There's like 3 weapons, like an assault rifle, a sniper rifle, and a rocket launcher.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 1 enemy type, basically.
Yeah.
There's like a ship that you fight twice.
I think there's 3, even if you get a technicality on it, right? 3 enemies? I mean, it's really...
Yeah, there's like a walking turret thing.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing with a machine gun
in front of them or something like that.
Yeah, and you basically, you fight that like twice, and you just have to walk around it and shoot the guy in the side. It's like, and there's like just no challenge, even on hard. Like, you will die more, but there's, like, no strategy in it. You just have to shoot some guys. If you, like, your health goes down, just move into cover and then wait for your health to come back and then pop back out and shoot some guys over again. It is not fun. Even, like, the main weapon is, like, the piddliest gun I've played in the game in quite some time. It's just really...
The aiming was kind of iffy.
You know, yeah, it's just, it feels weird.
I played the demo, and the one thing I did enjoy was it was just nice to, you know, pop in and just snipe some aliens. But honestly, I feel like if I want to do that, there's probably games that are a little bit better for the value.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's really disappointing, because when I saw, like, the trailer came out, like, what, 2 weeks ago or something? And it looked really cool, because it looked like, basically, it looked like it was going to be, like, a Call of Duty type thing on XBLA, which I think there is, like, a place for something like that. but this isn't remotely like that.
This isn't it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some cool moments. It's like, yeah. The game looks good at times.
There any kind of like plot to it?
Who knows? Did you watch the cutscenes? They're the worst cutscenes in the history of gaming.
They're like, it's basically a motion comic, the cutscenes, but...
Oh, yeah?
Like, and motion comics can be really well done and kind of awesome, but
this one
comes
isn't.
Across as, like,
it's got
comical for
the most
part. Terrible
voice acting.
They use Comic Sans as the font.
Okay, yeah. I have a hard time taking anything serious that uses Comic Sans.
And I'm not even just in the cutscenes, like, and subtitles and stuff, it uses Comic Sans. Like, it's the only font in the game, pretty much.
I feel like if I ever did have to fire someone, I'd have to write it in, like, Comic Sans. Just be like, I don't hate you. It's in Comic Sans. That's friendly. Like,
it just looks so sad. It's like, try to be really serious, and then there's, like, these little, like, semi-animated characters walking around with little, like, Comic Sans speech bubbles coming out of their heads, and it's stupid.
Alright, so let me add to this a little. I'm surprised to find out you hated it that much, Ross. I kind of like 50-50 hate love this thing. Well, not love, like. And things I hated about it was, what U.S. soldier do you know can only sprint for 3 seconds without becoming winded? That is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, just go outside, and we're nerds that don't work out, and we could probably run for a solid 5 minutes before we get tired. That was ridiculous. Climbing up the ladders takes about half as long as the level takes. It's insanely slow. The aliens are not... I didn't see the aliens before this game, like, on any trailer. They are not, like, cool-looking aliens. They kind of have, like, a gash across their face that's supposed to be their eyes and mouth, I guess. I don't know. And sniping's, in my opinion, broken. It's not effective. But beside all that, I kind of had fun with it because... It was only a half hour long or so, and it was exactly what I expected out of it. It was like one of those, like, Dead Rising or, what's the other one, Dead Space. Like, it felt like one of those, like, half-y games that they just spent, like, a month or two on. But it looked good, and the set pieces were awesome. Like, when that plane crashes above you, or, like, when, like, water towers fall in the background and stuff. I thought that looked really cool, and, it was to the point where, like, on my third or fourth playthrough, whatever one it was, I was, like, trying to, like, gradually walk forward an inch while looking at the sky to see, like, what exactly triggers this plane to fall out of the sky, because I want to see the whole thing from start to finish.
So it sounds like they had some pretty high production values, but they just really didn't care when putting it together.
Yeah.
Because they knew it was just going to be one of those, like, you know, it's almost a B-movie in a sense, so it's just kind of a B-rated game in a sense. Like, it's not trying to be good, it's just trying to be action.
It just seems really rushed. It's like, I can't tell, I don't think the engine is unreal, but it does look like it. But it just seems like they got the engine and then, like, suddenly remembered they had to make a game and just kind of cobbled it together. But I know I, like, kind of piled on it right away, but I don't hate it completely. I mean, it does have some cool set pieces, like Andrew said. There's, like, the ending part, there's, like, a big ship thing that's kind of, there's a lot of scale, like, good scale to some of it that's kind of impressive for considering what the game is, but there just wasn't enough variety, especially considering how short it was. I think they could have done
something. I was gonna say, I have a hard time paying, you know, $10 for 30 minutes of gameplay.
Yeah.
Or did you say it was 400 points?
It was 800.
It's 800, right? Yeah. Unless I'm in it just for achievements, which that's not the type of person I am.
Yeah.
I
well, if you are, you can get them in like 2.5 hours probably.
Yeah, it's pretty easy, 200.
Only had twin stick controls, and then Andrew
would be all over.
Flip that camera overhead.
200 free achievement points. Twin stick controls takes 2 hours. Sounds like perfect game.
And a bomb on the R trigger.
All I need is gravity ball physics and soul.
Yes.
Oh, I love bombs on the R trigger.
Oh my god, I was playing another game today that made me wish that was in it.
What was that?
Hardcore Uprising. Oh, the game, like, that screen just gets filled with too many people. Like, if you miss that one bullet, then you're next 2 seconds, you're trying to hit that guy that you missed.
And, that's the nature of the everybody beast else shows Contra up games.
In
that
1 second. It's just like, I want to write Trigger. This game in particular, like, I got it for free, and if I would have paid for this, I'd be pretty pissed, because I'm just not having a fun time with this at all. I was arguing in a party right before this show with a couple of my friends that liked the game. I just feel like that game is way too over the top. The WTF moments happen like every 3 seconds, and it's always something new. You dodge like 6,000 things, and then like the 6,001st thing still gets you. And I really hate any of the levels that have like the moving, like the hoverboard or the like snowmobile thing. Cause I hate that the fact that the left trigger or the left joystick controls your hovercraft and your gun. That's absolutely ridiculous that they would map two things to the same button. And I just feel like this game would be a lot better if it was controlled dual stick. Who would have thought? And it had 360 degree, like firing. The 8 firing angles isn't good enough. Too many times I have to walk into harm's way just so I can hit somebody at that 45 degree angle I'm shooting. And I don't know. I can't see how this game sold so well. I mean, it sold the most out of any XBLA game in March. I was looking at some of the numbers, and well, I just Contra. Can't believe it, to be honest with you.
It's the answer. It's anime Contra.
Yeah but say, it's only Contra, the first like, level's fun.
Yeah, if you look at the games that sell really, really well on XBLA, they're, you know, the Castle Crashers, the Trials HD,
well,
and then, like, the next 10.
Like, what, we like have Japanese Super Meat Boy, which sold really well. We have Castle Crashers, we have this. 90% of the time, it's like punching yourself in the balls for $15. So, I don't know, like, like, if people just have an obsession with just really tough games. I like them, just because like when they're done well, if the controls are done well, it's something I can master and something I can really get into for a week or two, and I'm happy to pay $10-$15 for that. I guess a lot of other XBLA users are agreeing. So
I like hard games too. I mean, Ikaruga is one of my favorite games on the marketplace. I like all those Japanese games. I buy the Raiden games, and I've been looking to get a Death Smiles game, but my local GameStop just can't get one in for whatever reason. I like those hard games, but this one is like a step above. It's not fun the majority of the time. Every 3 seconds, I'm just like, are you serious? That did not actually just happen.
Well, speaking of frustrating, John, you watched Game Informer, right, as they did their 27 hours of Super Smash Bros.
So I left at about the 12-hour mark, and they said around 2 in the morning they started really kind of losing their minds a little bit. But then they kind of got a second wind again at like 3 or 4, or like 8 in the morning. But I doubt they ever want to play Smash Bros. Again. I was there for 12 hours, and I can't look at a game right now. So
I was gonna say Smash Brothers was one of those games that for me, like, it absorbed my time, but that's because I could, you know, play for an hour or two at a time with a bunch of people, and then I left.
It was kind of sickening, and it's really hard to sit there and watch people play a game for so long. We didn't know until the second day that if someone was taking a break, that other people would jump in and play. So I finally got to play sometime yesterday, but I don't want to sit and watch people play games for a while now. I want to play them myself. And
yeah, I think the craziest thing I've tried to do with like gaming stuff is me and a friend of mine tried to play Guitar Hero and DDR at the same time, and we finally got, after about an hour, we finally got to the point where we could basically pass two songs, but like, that was just our, you know, crazy moment. Like, can we play a game for 27 hours? We're like, let's just try to play, you know, as many at the same time as possible. That would be absolutely ridiculous. And we would have added in, you know, like, SingStar or Rock Band if we had another TV. But at the time, we only had two. All right, and I think that's about all we have for XBLA stuff, now that we're getting off topic. You guys have anything you want to say, add?
Ross?
Yeah, I've got nothing.
I don't.
All right.
I have something I want to say. It it's come up before in discussions with people, and I just want to get like your guys' quick thoughts on this. With Hardcore Uprising, it came up again. The first level is awesome because it's outside and there's a sky, and it's pretty to look at. Are you guys sick of games having the best looking, like most fun looking level being the first easy one that you never want to go back to and play again? Like Super Meat Boy's Forest was awesome looking, and then it goes to like hell and all those darker levels. Are you guys sick of all the harder levels, the ones that have the replay value being the ones that are the least aesthetically pleasing to look at?
That's one of those things I've never actually thought about, but when you look at it, you're like, you know what? The easy stuff's always, you know, the calm clearing where you got, you know, the trees and stuff, and then you end up like at like a lagoon, and then eventually you end up in like a dungeon.
Yeah.
With dragons.
Mm-hmm. And that's the fun though.
Like, but that's the fun part, but terrible. Honestly, when you look around, it looks the same. Everywhere looks the same. They all look the same. It's just, you know, four walls and a cave and
yeah.
None of those look that different.
I'm just like so over that. Like one of the things that's got me the most excited about Miss Splosion Man was the screenshots of her just being on the beach. I'm like, all right, one that looks good, because the original Splosion Man did not look that great to me. Like it got so bland of like the background after the first couple levels. You're just like, all right, I've seen enough of this.
Different environments really spice it up, but they really need to take the time to make them different, to make them actually visually nice, pleasing.
All right. Well, go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said for like having varied environments and stuff. But it's not XBLA, but I was recently replaying Gears of War 2, and that game does a lot of like really nice varied stuff. It's like you start off in like a forest, and then you're in like a snowy area, and eventually you go underground, and then like you end up in like the crazy, like, big cavernous emulsion caves and stuff, and it all looks really awesome. It's nice to just have, like, you're doing the same thing over and over again, basically, so it's nice to have stuff to look at that at least looks interesting and different.
Yeah,
especially with games like Explosion Man type of game, like Andrew's saying, is where, you know, it's constantly, you know, the same gameplay. They just keep adding new mechanics to it and making it more interesting as you go along. So it'd be nice to see some of, you know, the new environments toward the end, especially.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the stuff I go back and play more. Like, with Meat Boy, I don't ever go back and play the first level.
I know.
Like, it took me, you know, maybe, you know, 30 minutes to beat all of those, get all the bandages, do everything, and then do the Dark World. But then, I mean, after that, like, you end up, you know, in the Salt Factory and the hospital.
They're
and
all dark.
Hell and... Yeah, they're all dark, they're all, you know, creepy almost.
Yeah, and it's just like, those are the ones that have the replayability, those are the ones you want to go back and play. It's just, I don't know, I wish there was like a Keller slider sometimes, it just changed the background.
Well, the nice thing about Meat Boy, though, is at least it's not, you know, that same dark cave that you always get stuck in a lot of these things.
Yeah.
It's something to think about, for sure.
Yeah, and it seems like the games that are, like, nice and pretty to look at the entire time are the, like, kiddie games that, like, nobody really wants to play. I mean, the Maw was a fun game, but it was nice to look at the majority of the time. But that's one that you could definitely write off as, like, yeah, that's a really easy game, so it looks really appealing and easy, I guess.
Well, that's one nice thing about another Twisted Pixel game, now that you're mentioning a couple, is they have... Comic Jumper, which, you know, it kept changing art styles throughout the game, which, I mean, that was completely different.
That was like, great.
You completely break from... I mean, it's the same gameplay almost the whole way through, but, like, it's such a break that it's really refreshing to go from, you know, that Conan kind of style to, you know, the 1950s comic book, and, you know...
Until they get to the manga, then it's kind of hard to look at.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts the eyes. Example. To the manga art style?
Yeah.
Till it gets what?
That was very rough.
Oh, yeah, that was rough. I didn't understand that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even have anything to say. I just sighed. Moving on, yeah. But, I mean, it's great that we have like we talked about at the top of the show, there's a lot of great-looking games coming out soon, and, I mean, you have From Dust, you have, Outland, both of those from Ubisoft getting published that we all think look great. I mean, it's a completely different art style for both, but I mean, they all look really unique, and it looks like the environment's going to change a good bit.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's something I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, and you can follow the site on Twitter at at XBLA fans, and we'd love to hear, you know, what you guys thought about Torchlight or what you guys thought about Full House Poker or even Battle LA. So if you guys want to hit us up, we'd love to hear it. And then you can follow each of us at our own individual Twitter accounts. And I'm John again, just in case anyone forgot. And follow me at Kane141. Then I'll let the rest of the guys do their thing.
I'm Andrew. You can follow me at TwixPrintmatic.
You can follow me at John_Carson.
And you can follow me at RandomlyRossi.
And don't forget the underscore, because I have talked to that John Carson guy on Twitter probably about 20 times.
There's another John Carson on Twitter?
What are you doing, dude? I don't know you. Stop it. So I should remember that underscore, because, I mean, otherwise that guy's going to hate me again.
It's probably 10.
I think I still do.
Oddly, he is also a journalist. Like,
stop replying to me. I don't know you.
But he looks nothing like me.
Yeah, that's what makes it really funny. That's what really creeped me out the first time I clicked it. I'm like, it says journalist. I'm like, I met John before. This isn't John. By the way, you have one of the best names there is. We got Johnny Carson on the show tonight, guys. So, I mean, we definitely got to, you know, play that one. All right. That's all we got for you guys. So, we'll see you again next week. And next week, we have some pretty cool stuff for you that we're kind of saving up.